Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Karen Wyatt, hospice and family physician, and the author of the book, What Really Matters. I help people navigate the storms of life, and I help those who are suffering with loss, grief, or illness find the blessing within their tragedy. I also point the way towards spiritual growth and the transformation that can follow a crisis. Today, I'm going to be talking about first aid for the soul. 10 tools for getting back on track when life has derailed you. Have you ever been cruising along with a smile on your face, having a great day, just feeling on top of the world, when suddenly one single, small, annoying event sends you crashing to the ground? When your mood shifts to anger and annoyance in an instant because of one little thing going wrong? If you're like me, that happens all the time. I can be having the best day ever, feeling calm, feeling so well put together, happy, enjoying my day, and feeling great about how enlightened I am, when suddenly the least little thing can go wrong. Maybe a car cuts me off when I'm driving on the freeway, or I miss my exit, or I accidentally spill some coffee on my favorite blouse. And suddenly, just like that, my entire day seems ruined. Suddenly, I'm cast into this spell of negativity, anger, annoyance, and it seems to have come out of the blue. I was feeling so great just one moment before. What happened? What is it that causes this sudden surge of negative emotion to take over? And it is as if we get derailed when those little incidents happen, and suddenly our emotions are so intense and so powerful that we can't seem to fight them off. Our higher sense of reason and control gets overridden by our emotions, causing us to behave in all sorts of unenlightened ways, like yelling at cars on the freeway, being irritable and unhappy, even with all the things that are going right. In the past, I found that those negative emotions could last for hours or sometimes even an entire day. But then I came up with an idea to help myself get out of this pit of negativity and back on track. And that's what I want to share with you today. I created for myself a sort of first aid kit for the soul. I gathered together lots of inspiring and positive resources that really resonated with my higher self. And I started using those to help me get out of my negative feelings and back into that positive mood I had been feeling earlier. So now I'll share with you these 10 tools I found for getting back on track when life derails you. The very first tool is take a deep breath. This may sound so simple that it doesn't seem like it could actually do anything to help, but the truth is, when you stop what you're doing and take even one deep breath, you actually activate your parasympathetic nervous system. And it's not important that you know the name of that nervous system, only that what you do is activate the part of your brain that helps you relax. Taking a deep breath in by breathing in for 5 counts and then out again for at least 5 counts, and sometimes even a longer exhalation is better, 6 or 7 counts, can help you suddenly feel calmer and more relaxed, just like that. It works very rapidly. If you need to, you might want to repeat those deep breaths 2 or 3 times to help you get yourself out of that moment when negativity and anger is arising in you. Ideally, if you can stop yourself from acting or speaking in that moment when your emotions are rising up and take the deep breaths first, you can actually prevent yourself from going too far, saying things you regret, or behaving in ways that you really don't want to do. And the deep breathing can make all the difference in the world in helping you engage your brain again, your higher self, and getting back in control and calming down those hot, fiery, negative emotions that are rising up in you. So that's number one. Totally simple. Something any one of us could do at any time. You just have to remember it and think of it in the moment. Take a deep breath. Number two on my list is listen to a favorite song. Now, for this, I recommend that you create a little playlist for yourself if you have a smartphone or an iPod or something you carry around with you. And you have this little list of emergency songs because it's amazing what music can do to help calm you down. And you'll have to find the songs for yourself that actually work for you. I created for myself a happy playlist because I wanted to have songs that, you know, sometimes when you just want to get your energy up a little bit, you just want to feel more positive and feel more excited in the moment. And some of the songs I have on my list are Walking on Sunshine, Oh Happy Day, I Can See Clearly Now, even Mbop, that song by Hanson from a number of years ago that was a kind of a bubblegum favorite, but that song is really uplifting and happy to me. So I have my own little playlist of happy songs, and I can turn those on at any moment if I need to, just something that jars me a little bit to remember, hey, don't take things quite so seriously. So I recommend you get yourself a means of listening to some of your favorite music, whatever it is, and put those together in a little list and have it accessible to you when you need it in the moment. So number three, and this is another simple thing you can do anytime, any place, is laugh. Laughter as well has the ability to change the functioning of our brain just slightly and change our brain chemistry to a more positive state. If you can find a way to laugh at something that's happening around you, even if you just laugh internally or think of something humorous that's going on, it can help get you out of that negative mode and help you calm down the negative emotions again. Now, for me, I have this favorite YouTube video that I absolutely love to watch. It's called Buddha on the Train. You can go to YouTube and search for it or search on Google and you'll get there also. And it's the most amazing video. It shows a man on a crowded train who suddenly starts laughing, and ultimately every other person on the train ends up laughing with him. And as the audience member watching the video, you end up laughing as well. You can't help it. You cannot stop yourself from laughing. And at times I've laughed until I was in tears while watching the video. There are no words. There's only laughter in the video. But it's amazing. And it works for me every time, even though I know exactly what's going to happen. When I watch Buddha on the Train, it instantly puts me in a good mood and I get a little rush of those positive hormones and neurochemicals in the brain that changes my mood, helps me stay calmer, helps me get out of my negative state. So that's number three. Number four on our list of tools is to take a walk. Walking is another activity. It lets you expend a little bit of the energy that's rising up in you, the negative energy, gives you a way, an outlet for that energy, and helps you calm down a little bit. It's especially helpful if you can walk outside because you can begin to notice the world around you, nature, the sounds, the feeling of the air around you. And taking a walk is sometimes one of the best ways of simmering down and cooling off a situation and helping you get back in the frame of mind you need to be in to have a positive life and to attract abundance in your life instead of projecting negativity out around you. So that's my fourth tool that I use a lot to help me when I need to calm down a little bit. The fifth tool is something that isn't always convenient, but that can work really well for you, which is write in your journal. And it just depends. If you're in a situation where you're alone and you have a few moments at your desk and you're fuming because you're upset about something that just happened, it can be really helpful to take out a piece of paper, start writing about your feelings, And write until you end up answering the question, what am I to learn from this? And that is often the very best attitude we can have when things are going wrong. To ask that question of ourselves, what am I to learn from this? When we take the attitude that when things go wrong in our life, there's a lesson in it. There's something positive we can glean from that experience. There's something we can take from it and use to help us grow. Something we need for the future that we're given this opportunity to learn right now. So writing about that in your journal and asking yourself that question, what am I to learn from this, can be a very powerful activity. Now, sometimes it's not practical to write in your journal in the moment when you're experiencing all the negative emotion, but it's helpful if later on in the day or maybe before you go to bed at night, you can reflect back on what happened today. Like, how did that play out? What was going on with me? And what can I learn from what happened today? It's very, very helpful for you to process every evening the events of the day. And especially again with that attitude of from a higher perspective, how can I use today and the things that happened to me as a learning experience and create something positive for the day? In addition, it's really helpful when you're writing in your journal to end it by expressing some sort of gratitude for the events of the day, including the negative thing that happened. Even be grateful for the driver that cut you off, who gave you a chance to witness your own negative emotions arising and gave you an opportunity to work on that and make it better in your life. So when you're journaling, here are the two things again. Ask yourself, what am I to learn from this? And then express gratitude for the opportunity to learn something. Number six, a tool that I often recommend is to pray. And I actually recommend prayer for anyone, even if you're not religious, even if you don't even believe in God. The act of praying prayer itself is a request, and it's asking for wisdom, asking for guidance, asking for help. And you don't necessarily have to be asking God for that help. You can be saying a prayer that is to your own higher self, whatever within you has higher knowledge about you and about your life. Your prayer can be to ask your higher self for some sort of guidance. I also find you can use prayers if you don't feel like you can make up your own prayer. You can learn certain prayers that you can use that can be very helpful to you in situations. And one of those is simply the Serenity Prayer that a lot of 12-step programs teach. And the Serenity Prayer says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. I think that's an absolutely amazing prayer, because that's the perfect attitude we need to have throughout our lives. We need to be willing to accept those things that happen to us that we simply can't change. We can't do anything about it. It just is. And there's no point in being upset or angry or worrying. We need to have an attitude of acceptance. But when there is a situation that can be changed, and quite frankly, what can be changed is usually ourselves, our attitudes, our behavior, and our practices, we need to have the courage to face up to it, to face up to what needs to be changed, and to get to work on ourselves, take a look at our shadow, take a look at our flaws and our shortcomings, and start working on developing the practices that we need in order to grow and heal in our lives. And that does take courage. It takes a lot of courage to face that. But it's so important. If we are going to be growing spiritual beings who manage to transform and transcend in our lives, we're going to have the courage to look within and look at our shadow, look at our negative behaviors and our dark side. And then the third thing that prayer asks for is the wisdom to know the difference, the wisdom to recognize when is it possible for change to happen and when is it not? When do I need to have courage and work hard and try to make changes? And when do I simply need to sit back and accept? And to tell you the truth, sometimes it's not that easy to know the difference. And I think it is important that we work on cultivating our wisdom so that we're better at judging the situations. And you know what? When a car cuts me off on the freeway, the truth is I can't do anything about it. And yelling at the driver and being upset and honking my horn is not going to make anything better. In fact, it might make the other driver's day worse. It will certainly make my day worse. Could even interfere with traffic around me. That's a situation where I'm going to need some wisdom to say to me, hey, don't waste the energy on reacting to that. It's not worth it. So I wanted to recommend that Serenity Prayer to you. Sweet, very nice little simple prayer that you can memorize and just pull that out in your head. Okay. I need to have the serenity to accept what I can't change. I cannot change this. I need to accept it right now. And I find that very useful. Another prayer I wanted to recommend is the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. And on the handout that I have left for you, you can find a link to that prayer. That's another very beautiful prayer that ends by saying, it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. That's a really beautiful message as well. Another prayer that you could have memorized and kind of pull out of your toolkit when you need it, when you're in one of those tricky situations and your emotions are ready to take you down and pull you down to a place where you don't want to go. So those are my recommendations for using prayer. And that was the sixth tool. The next tool, number seven, is the loving kindness blessing. And I use this all the time. I say this multiple times every day in all kinds of situations. This blessing, actually, I used to use it when I was running longer distances and I would get to a place where I just really wanted to quit on my run and I still had a mile or so left to go, I'd start saying the loving kindness blessing to myself over and over again. And it actually really helped me somehow feel inspired and helped me make it through that last mile until I got to the end of my run. So I still use it a lot. It keeps me grounded, but keeps me inspired. And I'm going to say it to you right now so you'll hear exactly what it is. And it's also typed on the handout so you can have it to look at. The loving kindness blessing, which comes from the Buddhist tradition, and it's also called Metta, M-E-T-T-A. It says this, may I be at peace. May my heart remain open. May I realize the beauty of my own true nature. May I be healed. May I be a source of healing for this world. And I just find that to be a beautiful blessing that kind of reminds me of what's important in life and reminds me in all kinds of situations that I want to be functioning on a higher level all the time if I possibly can. I want to be at peace. I want to have an open heart. I want to know that my own true nature is beautiful. I want to be healed, and I want the world to be healed because of the way I live in the world. I genuinely want that. And I know that succumbing to my negative emotions and acting out and behaving in destructive ways doesn't help the world. It's not going to help the world heal. It doesn't help me heal. And I know that I want and need to be functioning on a higher plane as much as possible. So this blessing, probably because I've used it for years and said it so many times, it can instantly calm me down. It instantly takes me to a place where I remember what's important to me and what I really value. And what I wanted to say about that is, if you choose to use any of these tools for yourself, the important thing is to use it regularly enough. So like this blessing for me, it becomes something that's just ingrained in you. And that the moment you begin to say the words, you experience a calming effect. And that's what will happen over time. If you start to use these tools on a regular basis, you'll find that they help you rapidly, and that you become totally calm and can totally get on top of those negative emotions very quickly. And it's the repetitive nature and the consistency of using these tools that will help you with that. So the next tool, the eighth tool, is mindfulness. And I'm sure you've all heard a lot about mindfulness meditation, a form of meditation where you bring your attention to the present moment, to exactly what you're experiencing in the present moment, and focus your mind on that. One of the ways I have found that you can use mindfulness to help get you out of a negative state of emotion is to actually give your mind something through your senses, something in this moment to focus on other than the event that just happened that's so annoying to you. So here's a thought. You can carry with you some sort of an essential oil, like maybe lavender or sandalwood or something, some scent that you really like. And you can use a drop of that oil and get a whiff of it. Just smell the oil, put it on your skin and smell it. And you can begin to associate that scent, that positive scent, with a sense of calmness and being in control. And you're helping your mind, you're giving your mind something to focus on other than the event that has happened that's upsetting you and other than the emotions that are rising up. You're kind of giving your mind an anchor that it can focus attention on. So it could be any kind of a scent. It can also be a touch or a sensation, like you can rub your hands together, rub your forearms if you need to, so that you have a touch sensation for your mind to focus on. And another thing I have found helpful at times in the past is actually to use a lemon drop candy. Those are those really sour and sweet candies. But when you pop one of those in your mouth, your mind instantly notices, because the tartness is so intense in that candy that instantly you notice the flavor of it. And it helps you take your focus off of the emotion and get your mind right here, right now, in the present moment. And you focus on the taste and the sensations bursting in your mouth. And usually your salivary glands are activated because those are so tart. But that can be an effective way to just jar your mind out of that pit of negative emotion into the present moment and give you just a moment to get control over what's happening to you. So that's my thought about using some appealing to your senses to help you become mindful in the moment. The very next tool that I want to recommend, number 9, is to recite a favorite verse or a poem. And this is kind of similar to saying a prayer that you have memorized. And I have, of course, a favorite poem, or it's not really a poem, it's a verse by Rainer Maria Rilke that I have kept with me. I've carried it with me since I was in college, and it has been such an inspiration to me. And I'll just read this briefly to you. It says, "Try to have patience with everything unresolved in your heart. And try to love the questions themselves. Don't search for the answers, which could not be given to you now, because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions now. Perhaps then, someday far in the future, you will gradually, without even noticing it, live your way into the answer." So for me, that statement, "live the questions now," became such such a mantra for my life that I was constantly aware of how bombarded I was by questions. I had questions about everything. And this started when I was in college. And the notion of being that it's okay to have questions and it's okay to simply live the questions that you have, I found that so comforting. It took away the fear I had of, why don't I have answers? Why don't I know this? How come it's not all clear to me? It took all of that worry and fear away from me and reassured me that, you know what, we're not meant to have the answers to everything. It's all okay. We will come along those answers when the timing is right, when we've learned enough, when we know what we're supposed to know. And that's perfect. It's perfectly fine. So once I reached that point, I suddenly found that it was actually almost humorous sometimes to think, it's okay, I'm just living the questions. I don't know the answer, and that's okay. I can be content with it. That's good enough for me. And so I can apply that notion of living the questions when I'm in one of those tricky situations where my emotions start to rise up. And the first thing I think is, hey, I don't know why that car cut me off on the freeway, but it doesn't matter because that's just one of the questions, just one of the questions I don't have an answer to. It doesn't matter. I need to get over it. I'm not going to let that ruin my day. And so for me, that particular verse is something really helpful for me. I'm thinking you should find your own verses or poetry that speaks to you in that same way. And you're welcome to use the one I chose. But if you have something, a favorite saying or a verse that always resonates with you and touches you in your heart, pull it out. Either keep it, you know, you could keep it in your notes on your smartphone. So you could have it recorded where you can just click open your phone, take a look and read it to remind yourself. That's right. That's right. This is what's going on. This is what I believe. And this is what I'm going to use to help me get myself to a better place. The final, number 10, the last tool, is to use some guided imagery. And that, for some of us, you know, once you learn how to use guided imagery, you can actually create your own. You create your own images in your mind that help you. But if you haven't done it before, at the very end of this recording, I'm going to talk you through a really brief little guided imagery. And once you learn it, you can just think yourself through it yourself. You don't have to listen to the recording always in the future. You can just use that imagery on your own in the future. And I'll just give you some suggestions in my recording of how you might do it and what to think about to help yourself through. But guided imagery is another really helpful thing to get your mind off of the negative event that's happened and out of the emotions, to calm the emotions down, take away their ability to control you and control your behavior. The guided imagery is really just giving your mind a different scene to think about so that you take your mind right out of that negative situation and put it into a more positive place. And these are kind of emergency tactics to help you, like, until you can get stabilized again. It's like, you know, it's like when we put pressure on bleeding in first aid, you know, the putting pressure on isn't going to sew up the laceration, but it's going to stop the bleeding until we get to the point where we can make it better. And so in some ways, that's one of the reasons I called this first aid for the soul, because this guided imagery tactic is something that is just going to help you to stabilize the situation in the moment until you have time to work it through a little bit better and get yourself back out of that pit of negative emotions and get your higher self back in control again of your behavior. So once again, I named these 10 tools. I'll review the list with you. Take a deep breath. Listen to a favorite song, laugh, take a walk, write in your journal, pray, say the loving kindness blessing, be mindful, recite a favorite verse or poem, and use guided imagery. And those are the 10 tools that I have used off and on to varying degrees to help me when I need some kind of first aid to get me out of a desperate situation, when I'm drowning in my own negative emotions and on the verge of behaving in a very bad way. What I would recommend to you is that you create your own list of tools, and you can start with my list of 10 and maybe pick out a few of these if they sound good to you. Create two or three in the beginning that seem to resonate with you, that you think might be effective, and then try them. And maybe if you use a smartphone or you carry a notebook with you, you might have these things written down or recorded in your phone so that it's handy and it's something you can pull out in the moment when you need it and refer to it for help. Eventually, these things become ingrained in your mind and you'll just be able to pull them up. You won't need an external resource to help you remember. You'll be able to pull it up and recall it, and you'll actually get pretty good at kind of shifting your mind very quickly out of that negative track into a more positive state of being. And the more you use these tools, the better you'll get at using them, the more facile you'll be. And I'm not going to promise that you won't get thrown off track again, because that's actually going to require a little deeper sort of healing that's going to take more time. These tools, this is the first aid that you can use to help you in the moment, to get you out of the negative mood, back into higher functioning mode. There will be other tools I'm going to talk to you about in the future as far as diving into those triggers for negative emotions and helping you figure out where those come from and how we heal those. Oftentimes, those are caused by hidden wounds from our childhood that we need to explore a little bit in order to fully excavate those and heal them. But that's for another talk. For now, once again, this is First Aid for the Soul. 10 tools you can use to get you back on track when life derails you. If you stay on, I'm going to talk you through a guided imagery after this that you can use in the future. And it will be a track 2 on this particular recording. So in the future, if you want to listen to it again, you can skip this track 1 and go directly to the guided imagery. I hope this has been helpful to you, and please check out my website at karenwyattmd.com for more resources. And I'd love to chat with you sometime. Send me a message. Let me know how you're doing. And take care, and God bless you. Now we're going to practice some guided imagery, which you can use on your own in the future to help you get into a more positive frame of mind. So to begin with, sit in any position that's comfortable for you. It's best to have your feet on the floor, but you can also be lying down. You could be seated in a cross-legged position if that's comfortable. But for now, being comfortable is the most important thing. You can just let your hands rest in your lap, or if you're lying down, your hands can rest on the floor next to you or the bed, wherever you're lying down. And move around a little bit and settle into your position until you feel comfortable. It's also best if you close your eyes, because that will help keep you from being distracted by things that you see around you. So close your eyes, and to begin with, let's take a couple of deep breaths. First, breathe in. And then slowly breathe out. And again, breathe in. And breathe out. And on your next breath, breathe in. And as you're breathing out, imagine that your stress, your negative emotions, and your worries are pouring out of you. You're breathing them out of your body, and they're dissolving in the air around you. And on the next breath, when you breathe in, visualize that you're breathing in light and love and peacefulness that's coming into your body. So with each exhalation, you're breathing out the negativity that has been building up inside of you. You're giving it an escape hatch. You're allowing it to be released from your body. And releasing it creates space inside of you so that when you breathe in the next time, the space draws into you this light and love that are surrounding you and begin to fill you. The light and love are filling your heart, and they're moving out from your heart into every cell of your body, into every space between the cells. And they're beginning to enlighten your entire being and your body. So rest for a moment in this breathing as you let go of what is negative within you and replace it by breathing in the light and letting it gradually fill you. Fill your cells and fill all the spaces in between your cells until you have a sense of yourself as being filled with this beautiful light of love. And allow your mind now to go to a place. It could be a place that you have visited in the past that you actually know of and that you cherish and love. It should be a place that to you represents safety and peace. It might be for some people that kind of place would be near the ocean, perhaps on a beach. For others, it might be in a meadow or on a mountainside somewhere in a forest surrounded by trees. Wherever your place is that you envision your safe, peaceful place, I want you to see it. I want you to see the details, the colors. If there's water, I want you to see the color of the water. If there's sand or grass or trees, see the color. See the color of the tree bark. See the green of the leaves or the needles. See the blue of water that's present. And I want you to see the contours of the shoreline, the contours of trees, of rocks, of the mountain, of the horizon that is in your view. And notice the shapes that are made by these beautiful entities of nature that are inhabiting your safe place. And next, listen to the sounds that are present. Maybe you hear waves lapping at the shore. Maybe there are birds singing. Maybe the wind is whispering in the tree leaves and making a rustling sound. But I want you to listen for a moment to the sounds that you can hear in this place. I want you to feel the warmth of the sun that's shining. I want you to feel the coolness of the breeze and even feel if perhaps there's a raindrop that comes. I want you to feel those sensations on your skin. as you see yourself in this safe place. And allow yourself to move through the place, to walk very slowly. Feel with your feet what the ground underneath your feet presents to you. It might be sand, might be dirt or rocks or grass. Feel what your feet would feel if you were walking through this place. Keep breathing and breathe in the air and the scent of ocean air or the scent of wildflowers or the scent of tree bark and leaves. Breathe in whatever the scents are that would be in this place of yours where you feel so safe. And experience the sense of being connected to everything that is around you. That the division between your body and your cells is beginning to dissolve. The division between you and between this natural world that surrounds you is beginning to dissolve away as you become aware that you are one with this beautiful place that for you is safety and peace. And spend as much time as you need here in this place. Memorize the details of it because this image of this place is something you are going to carry with you. You're going to carry it in your memory. You're going to carry it in your heart. And in the future, when you have times when you're upset, when you're hurting, when you're lonely, when you're angry, when you're afraid, this is a place that you can visit. You can come to this place through your breath by taking some deep breaths, by breathing in the light and the peace that surrounds you, and let it transport you and carry you back to this special place. This is your place where you are always welcome. You can always come and you will always know who you really are the moment you arrive here. You will know who you are. And you will understand why you are here when you are in this place. You can return here anytime you need it, anytime, anytime you need to feel this peacefulness and safety. And now you can stay longer in this place if you choose. When you are ready, you can also choose to leave now, to use your breath to help you withdraw slowly from your safe place, knowing that this place remains within you. It will never leave you. It will always be there whenever you need it. Allow yourself to slowly and gradually leave this place of beauty and peace and wisdom and awareness, and slowly come back into your own body and have the sensation that this body of yours is still filled with light and peace that you have absorbed from the atmosphere of love that surrounds you at all times. Continue to breathe gradually and slowly as you allow yourself to return to this present moment. Begin by moving your fingers and your toes slightly and feeling the sensations that they bring to you. Then move your arms and your legs slightly and allow yourself to come back to awareness of this present moment. When you're ready, you can gradually open your eyes. Take one last deep breath and feel and enjoy the sensation of calmness and peace that is flooding through your body right now. And know that you can recreate this feeling at any time that you need it in the future. You can come back to your safe place and back to this imagery and this exercise to help you. This concludes the guided imagery and first aid for the soul, 10 tips for getting back on track when life has derailed you. I hope you've enjoyed it. Thank you so much for your time and attention, and may your life be blessed with what really matters. Goodbye.